You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. Always wonderful to be with you live from our studios here in Johannesburg on this very warm Wednesday afternoon. It's very good to feel the beginnings of spring. So we look forward to a nice warm summer to move away from our mild winter. We're going to look at some fascinating ideas, as we usually do in our time together. And you're welcome to let us know your thoughts or comments. Send us an SMS 34519. Send us an email on at chayfm.com. You could WhatsApp us 0621482374. We're going to discuss some vital lessons that Moses shared with the Jewish people as they were about to enter into the land of Israel. The last weeks of Moses' life, as we've mentioned before, perhaps the most powerful speech in the history of the world, where Moses gives his final words to the Jewish people, directing them, guiding them, and imparting with them the knowledge that they need for all future generations. Moses says to the Jewish people, Tamim tiyeh im Hashem lokecha. You need to be complete with your God. The Targum Unculus says that Tamim tiyeh im Hashem lokecha means, the way we translate the Targum is, be complete in your fear of God, in your reverence of the Creator of God. In other words, in our life, we must be complete in terms of our relationship with God and our reverence for God. And the two primary ways we do that. The first one is, of course, by observing the Torah and the mitzvahs. And the second one is to develop our character, to develop our midos. So how do we fulfill those two components of serving Hashem in a complete way? So the first one is that, of course, we have to fulfill the commandments, what God tells us to do. And in order to fulfill what God tells us to do, we need to know what it is that God wants us to do. And that means we need to learn halacha. We need to learn the Shulchan Aruch. We need to be able to understand clearly what God wants us to do, how God wants us to behave, and what our lifestyle should be like. And that we learn from the Shulchan Aruch. So that's non-negotiable. Every Jew needs to be learning Shulchan Aruch, one of the wonderful programs that has been introduced into our city in recent years is the Dir Shudaf Hayomi Ba'alocha program, where one page of Mishnah Berurah is learned 5 days a week each day, and it really is a life-changing, outstanding program. So we strongly recommend that our listeners participate in the learning of halacha, and if you are associated with an Orthodox shul, I have no doubt that they have a Daf Yomi Halacha program or some sort of halacha learning. So please do attach yourself to that and ensure that you're learning halacha in order to know what it is that God wants us to do in this world. The second aspect of serving Hashem in a complete way is perfecting our character. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Toira, perfecting our midos, which means growing as human beings, growing in our character, is a basic essential requirement that Hashem wants of us, included in this commandment of Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Lokecha. So we need to work on ourselves. We need to work on our midos. We need to work on our character. And that's very difficult to do. That's really not simple at all. Rav Yisrael Salanter says that if we want to work on our character, we need to learn Musa. Learning of Musa, I mentioned last week as well, is learning of how to develop our character, what to do. In other words, the classic works of Musa describe to us what it is that we're doing in this world, who we are, and how we achieve our mission in life. And primarily that is through developing our character, developing our midos, being in control of ourselves, being in control of our instincts, letting our neshama, our spiritual side, rule us. That's the primary function of a human being in this world. And we need to do that by learning. The learning of Musa helps us do that, describes what we've got to do, explains how to fulfill our mission in this world. Rav Yisrael actually says that if one wants to perfect one's character and one doesn't learn Musa, it's like a blind person wanting to see or a deaf person wanting to hear. We simply just don't have the tools to do the work that we need to in terms of our personalities without the learning of Musa. Rabbeinu Yonah describes the in Pirkei Avos. He says that when one learns Musa, one learns these classic works of character development, which the classics are really Mesidas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, Chovos HaLevavos, which is duties of the heart, Orchos Tzadikim, Sharei Tshuva. These works are the very powerful, brilliant works, works of immense genius, which describe our tradition, what the Torah says about life and about what we're doing, about where we're going. These works are all available in English today. There are extra commentaries to them. I highly recommend the Art Scroll Path of the Just commentary, which came out a few years ago, the latest Art Scroll print of the Path of the Just, which is the translation's excellent and the commentary's excellent. And so therefore we all have the opportunity to open up and to learn these Musa Svarim, which are indeed life-changing. I guarantee you won't be the same again if you learn Musa properly. So how is it that we learn Musa properly? Rabbeinu Yonah says that we need to learn it in a way that it moves us, that it changes us, that it gets us going. We need to open our hearts to the words of these great Musa Svarim and allow them to impact upon us the way they should. We could really read these books like we're reading a newspaper, like we're reading a website, and they don't penetrate at all, and we approach them from a very superficial point of view. And that would be a great pity, because they have the potential to really change who we are and impact us on us very deeply as human beings. So the way we're supposed to learn Musa is that we read what we read the words, and we think about them, and we try and understand them deeply, and we try and digest them and apply them to our lives. And we think about, how does this apply to my life? And if it doesn't apply, if it doesn't resonate with us, we try and identify, why is it not resonating with me? What blockages do I have? How do I remove those blockages and impediments? And how do I actually integrate these very powerful words that I am reading? So that's how one studies Musa, slowly, in a sincere, genuine way in which we analyze and understand and integrate and digest the powerful words of Musa, and we allow them to impact upon us as human beings. So I guarantee all of our listeners, if you open one of the classic Musa Svarim for 5 minutes a day in Elul, 5 minutes a day, this is the time, Elul is the time where we're supposed to be focusing on Tamim Tiem Hashem Lokecha. How do we be complete in our service of Hashem? So firstly, we need to learn halacha. Everybody, men and women, need to be learning halacha. And there are also many excellent halacha works that have been translated into English. Halacha of Shabbos, halachas of davening, halachas of Yom Tov. They are all readily available. Halachas of brachas. So we need to be learning halacha. And Daf Yom Halacha is an excellent program that we recommend under the banner of Dirshu. And secondly, we need to be learning Musa. 5 minutes of Musa a day is going to change our lives. So that's my recommendation for today. If you're listening, if you're fortunate enough to be listening to this and you take it on, it will be life-changing. 5 minutes of learning one of the classic Musa works of either Mesidas Yesharim or the Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos has got an excellent commentary by Rabbi Avigdor Miller, which also is tremendous. I recommend starting at Shar HaBechina, which is the second chapter, or Orchos Tzadikim, which is the ways of the righteous, or Sharei Tshuva, which is the gates of repentance. Those are the four classic Musa works which can change our lives. So 5 minutes a day really will turn things around for us and do the preparation we're supposed to arrive at the great awesome days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which are not far away. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're looking at some fascinating lessons that Moses taught the Jewish people in his parting words before he left this world and the nation of Israel entered into the land of Israel. One of the situations, one of the events that took place as the Jewish people made their way from Egypt towards the land of Israel and were in the desert for 40 years, was they had a confrontation with Midian, with the people of Midian. Jewish people tried to avoid that confrontation and tried to make a peace agreement with Midian. The Midianites refused and attacked the Jewish people, and there was a war. And as a result, there's certain halachas, certain there's certain ways a Jew has to conduct himself in a war. And that's how the reading this week begins. Ki seisa lemilchama aloivecha, when you go out to war with your enemies. And the Torah describes a number of requirements in terms of the behavior of a Jewish soldier. The Zohar HaKadosh, which is the classic work of Jewish mysticism, says this is also referring to the war against the Yetzirah. The Torah gives us a wonderful psychological understanding of a human being. The Torah tells us that we are all, each and every one of us, made up of two distinct parts. We have on the one side what we call the Yetzer Tov, which is the positive inclination, the part of our being which wants to go beyond ourselves, the part of our being that wants to connect to truth and to spirituality and to God, the part of our being that wants to attach itself to eternity. That's the Yetzer Tov. And then we also have another part of ourselves. And obviously the Yetzer Tov represents the neshama, the soul, the eternal soul of every human being. And then we have a whole nother side to our being. We have the body. We have the physical part of us, that which we call the Yetzer Hara, the evil, the negative inclination. The negative inclination wants us to be engaged entirely in self-gratification. The negative inclination is all about the pursuit of power and of pleasure and of fulfilling our own selfish, egocentric needs. That's the Yetzer Hara. And this clash is constant within every human being. We have the good side pulling us to raise ourselves and to connect to God and stretch beyond ourselves. And we have the negative side, which wants to pull us down to our earthly material existence and be fully engaged in the pursuit of power and pleasure in this world. And that's the struggle we all face. And that's the great challenge of life. Which is more dominant within us? Which voice has a louder expression in our head? Is it the Yetzer Tov? Is it the Yetzer Hara? And there's a constant struggle and battle. As Mesilas Yesharim says, to quote the Ramchal, the classic work of Musa that we referred to earlier, the Ramchal says there's a milchama chazaka, mipanim v'achor, an intense war from the front and from behind for every single human being. This war is going on, whether you're conscious of it or not, whether you like it or not, that's what's going on. Unfortunately, most of us are not even aware of this inner struggle. And as a result, we're getting taken out by the Yetzer Hara. In other words, our instincts and our passions and our drives for power and pleasure are totally dominant within us. And the voice of the Yetzer Tov, the voice of the Neshama, is non-existent. Never mind it's dormant. It doesn't have any expression at all. That's how most human beings, unfortunately, live our lives. And God wants us to be aware of the struggle. God wants us to work on ourselves and to develop ourselves and to fortify ourselves in order that the Yetzer Tov will be the dominant force within us. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that these verses telling us about war are also referring to the war that each human being faces between the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. And the way we succeed in this battle, says the Zohar, is ki seitza lemilchama, when you go out to war. We need to wage war against the Yetzer Hara. And like any, one of my hobbies is history, and is reading particularly military history. And one sees that when it comes to a war, the only way you will succeed is if you think about it, if there's strategy, if there's tactics, if there's preparation for the war. But if soldiers go in blind without any strategy or tactics or planning for the war, training for the war, they obviously are going to be defeated. They'll lose that war very quickly. Likewise with the Yetzer Hara. We need to think about it. We need to plan. We need to know the strengths of our enemy. We need to know our strengths and our weaknesses. And we need to therefore plan accordingly. Ki seitza lemilchama, says the Zohar. When you go out to war, we need to be engaged in that struggle, in that battle. Then we'll get siyata d'shmaya. Then we'll get heavenly assistance, and then we'll have a chance of defeating the Yetzer Hara. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, in his famous classic work, which is part of the Mishnah Torah, the laws of Tshuva, the laws of repentance, the Rambam writes that there are three steps to Tshuva, as we all know, and I'll repeat them because it's so important to be thinking about these things at this time of year, in the month of Elul, as we approach Rosh Hashanah. The three steps of Tshuva are, firstly, that we have to admit verbally what we did wrong. It's called vidui. So it's a verbal confession, not to any human being, but rather directly to the source, to the creator of the universe. And we admit that, yes, I did so and so wrong. So we accept that we did something wrong. Secondly, once we've admitted it verbally, we have to feel sincere remorse for what we did, which is in Hebrew, charata, the remorse. And that it's not something that's negative, it's not something that brings one to depression, it's not something that's dark, but rather we face up to the guns and we accept that our behavior was incorrect, that our behavior was wrong, that what we did was not within the framework of how a human being wants, God wants a human being to live. And we face up to the mistakes that we've made, right? So then we have true remorse for what we did wrong. And thirdly, the third and final step in the tshuva process is Kabbalah, is accepting upon ourselves not to do it again, not to repeat the same mistake, not to fall into the same trap, not to give in to the same temptation. So we put in safeguards and we protect ourselves that we won't stumble again in this area. Those are the three steps of tshuva. The Rambam says that the indication of a person having done tshuva shleima, which means complete teshuva, is when Hashem testifies on that person, in the Lashon of the Rambam, Hayodea Ta'alumos, the one who knows all hidden things, is Me'id, testifies that that person won't commit the same transgression again. That's called Tshuva Shleima. So the Tshuva is complete when Hashem testifies the person won't do it again. Now, wow, that's quite something. For Hashem, for God, for the creator of the universe, to testify about an individual that they won't repeat the same transgressions. So that's very serious. That's a very deep level of commitment that a person has undertaken in order for God to be able to testify that they won't do it again. How do we do that? In other words, how do we achieve that level of commitment? So the way we do that is an amazing concept that I heard from Rav Yosef Elephant. He in a talk on this week's Parsha, and he quotes Rav Itzla Peterberger. Rav Itzla Peterberger was one of the main Talmidim of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter was the individual who brought the Musa revolution to Lithuania. Rav Yisrael introduced to Lithuanian Jewry, of whom the vast majority of us South Africans are descendants, Rav Yisrael brought about tremendous change to Lithuania, to the Lithuanian Jewish world in the 19th century by introducing the study of Musa. It was something that was always done, but it wasn't necessarily a conscious program. And Rav Yisrael got all of the major Lithuanian yeshivas to incorporate a Musa Seder, a time when the Talmidim would learn Musa at least a half an hour a day. Every student of yeshiva, and to this day, the yeshivas in all over the world have time to learn Musa, have a Musa Seder. And that's in order to designate and set aside time to think about who we are, about where we're going, about the development of our character and assessing our behavior. And as we quoted Rabbi Yisrael and Musa earlier, that it's critical to Tamim Tiyeh, you need to learn Halach, you need to learn Musa. But Rav Itzla Peterberger said, who's the Talmud of Rav Yisrael and wrote an introduction to the letters of Yisrael, in that Hakdama, in that introduction, Rav Itzla Peterberger said that the real work that needs to be done in terms of improving ourselves is not when we're facing the heat of the moment, the challenge and the ordeal itself, but rather it's beforehand. We need to prepare and fortify ourselves to ensure that we won't stumble when the situation arises. If we leave it too late, if we wait until we actually confronted with the ordeal, in other words, let's say we have a great desire, physical desire for something, or we have a tremendous anger, or there's something we want to do that we shouldn't be doing. If we wait for the heat of the moment, most likely, almost certainly we won't have the strength to resist the temptation and the at that moment and the lure, the desire in the heat of the moment. So usually we don't have the strength to resist it then. But we are able to put in safeguards and prepare ourselves in order to be able to deal with that situation when it arises. So if we preempt it and if we do the work beforehand, that gives us the ability, that those tactics enable us to defeat the enemy, defeat the Yetzer in when the situation arises, when the challenge presents itself. So that's, that's the real place to do the work. And then we have a chance of overcoming this passion, this desire, this drive when it arrives. And not to leave it until it actually comes to us. So perhaps we can see an amazing mashal, an amazing comparison to what's going on in the world today. We see, unfortunately, the images of Hurricane Harvey have been spread across the globe, and there are many hundreds of thousands of people that have been displaced, that have been forced to leave their homes in Houston, Texas, and the surrounding areas. It really is a historic natural disaster that's taken place this week in the United States with Hurricane Harvey. And they say it's the highest levels of rainfall from a tropical storm in the history of America, topping 53 inches. There's been more than 53 inches of rain the last few days. And as a result, there's widespread flooding and terrible destruction and devastation in Texas. And it makes us also think of Hurricane Katrina, which actually yesterday was exactly 12 years in 2005 since Hurricane Katrina hit the shores of New Orleans and caused terrible destruction and devastation. Katrina was the, in terms of cost, the most costly natural disaster in the history of the United States, costing more than $108 billion. And unfortunately, there were 1,800 people that died, Hurricane Katrina. So we can contrast Katrina to Hurricane Harvey. Also, I would imagine when they tally up the destruction, it'll be close to that figure because of the extent of the damage. But in Harvey, it's been mitigated the damage. Because Baruch Hashem, the levees have held. The levees are the walls that hold the reservoirs and the dams in the surrounding areas. When it came to Katrina, the levees couldn't handle the water pressure and they all collapsed. And as a result, the waters of the reservoirs flowed into the residential areas and caused this terrible flooding very quickly. Whereas the levees holding the reservoirs in Houston, Baruch Hashem, have been holding out. As of last night, they were worried that some of them would collapse, but they haven't yet. And hopefully, it seems like the rain has stopped. It'll take a few days for everything, a few weeks even, for everything to drain. But it seems like the levees have held. So that's the difference between the two. So let's imagine that you had an engineer building these levees in New Orleans. And it was a beautiful sunny day. And he built these big concrete reinforcements to hold up the dams and reservoirs. And when he was finished, he realized that he was 2 inches short in terms of concrete. And he says, well, you know what? Look at these reinforcements are very, very strong. And it's a beautiful sunny day, isn't it? I can't see these things breaking. And so he thinks, look, it'll be millions and millions of dollars to add another 2 inches of concrete. And that money could surely be better spent on other communal needs, on needs of welfare, on feeding the poor. So it would be a waste of money to add the other 2 inches. If it was actually at the time of the storm, he would never hesitate. He would see the rains, he would see the winds, and realize that it was absolutely necessary to protect the lives of thousands of people to add those 2 inches. But since when he built it, it wasn't during the time of the storm, but rather it was when everything was calm, so he thought it was not necessary. And that's how we all are. The way we all operate is that when things are calm and when the sun is shining, we don't think that there'll be a problem when the storm comes. And therefore, we don't put in the necessary precautions and safeguards that we should. But we should be smart and realize that the storm always comes. And in our lives, Hashem sends storms. And those weak areas are going to be tested to their limit. And therefore, we would be very smart to put in the extra 2 inches of concrete to reinforce ourselves and ensure that we hold out at the time of the storm. And that's what, so that really is a wonderful insight of Rav Itzla Pitterberger into the battle, the war against the Yetzirah. And it is at the times of calmness, not when we're facing the challenge itself, that's when we have to put in the safeguards. That's when we have to reinforce ourselves. David HaMelech teaches us in Tehillim, in Psalms, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. That is real wisdom. The beginning of all wisdom is actually having a reverence for the Creator, seeing the omnipotent Creator through His creation and living a life of serving that Creator. That's Chochma. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, says David HaMelech. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Ezu Chacham, who's the wise person? Harua es hanoilad, is the one who sees what the outcome is going to be. A wise person is one who understands what is going to be. He projects into the future and sees the result of situations. So real wisdom is driven, is Yiras Hashem, and that wisdom is by seeing what will be, by seeing one's weaknesses and one's strengths, by projecting in the future and understanding how one will deal with the challenges going forward and what kind of reinforcements and safeguards we need in order to face up to the storm. So that really is the work of every human being, is to look deep into our personalities. And as we said, by learning Musa, that trains us and guides us how to do that. And by doing so, we're able to strengthen and fortify ourselves in our journey of serving Hashem and of developing our character and developing ourselves. Please stay with us. We'll continue in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. We're looking at this great challenge that we all face, the battle and struggle against the dark side within each and every one of us, what we call in the Torah the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. Rav Itzla Pitterberger, the great student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, says that the place where this battle is won and lost is in the area of preparation, is before the challenge arrives, that the good general will ensure that he has the right strategy, that he has the right training, that he has the right equipment and the right reinforcements to deal with the battle when it arrives. So too in our spiritual lives, the successful general of spirituality will be one who makes the correct plans and the correct strategy in terms of dealing with our Yetzirah. So when the battle begins, we will be prepared and we'll be able to fight against those forces and defeat them successfully. And, you know, we all need to then stop and think and look into ourselves and look into the areas that need work and need reinforcement and do that work. When we do that, when we actually do that in a sincere way, so that answers our question that we asked on the Rambam earlier. The Rambam said that Tshuva Shlema, complete repentance, is when God, when your Yodea Talumos, the one who knows all secrets, testifies, is Me'id, that this person won't do that again. So how does God know we won't do it again? And, you know, a real intense commitment is required in order for God to be able to do that. Well, the answer is that when we put in these safeguards and when we think about the work we need to do and make the correct adjustments before we face with the challenge, so that's when God sees that we're serious. That's when God sees that we mean business. That's when God knows that we are really want to defeat our lower side and grow and develop and connect to the soul and connect to eternity and to serve God. And obviously the Torah and mitzvahs are the framework within which to do that. But when we fortify ourselves, reinforce ourselves in this challenge of fulfilling the Torah mitzvahs properly, because the Yetzirah always wants to take us off path and not allow us to fulfill the commandments properly. So when we are putting in the safeguards, that's when God knows that we're sincere. That's when God knows we won't repeat the action. And that's called Tshuva Shlema. So that's how we can understand the Rambam and achieve this very lofty level that we all should be working on, especially at this time of year, especially in Elul. So let's maybe look at some practical examples. Practical examples of doing the work we need to before the challenge arises in order to ensure that we'll have the strength to overcome and defeat our lower side. So let's take, for example, let's say eating. You know, eating is a big part of all of our lives. We have to eat to live in this world, to sustain ourselves and to have strength to serve Hashem. The Rambam says that the majority, the vast majority of illnesses that people face are as a result of overeating. And of course, it's important to keep our weight down for our health reasons. So we all need to work on this area. So let's say a person struggles with overeating. I'm speaking for myself over here. So there's certain precautions that we should put in place in order to ensure that we eat healthily and that we eat the right amounts in moderation and we don't overdo it. So my own personal experience that I find that I'm weakest at supper time. So usually my breakfast and lunch are, you know, set amounts and I don't have a problem. But when it comes to supper, my wife usually makes a delicious supper. And then I want to keep going. I'm full. I've had enough. But, you know, that's not enough. The Yetzer wants me to carry on and to keep eating. So if I leave it too late and just, you know, I feel that desire and that drive to eat more, then I'll carry on eating. But if I come in prepared, if I think about it beforehand, and I think that, you know, I need to eat a good portion, a healthy portion, and that's sufficient. I don't need to overdo it. So what are the tactics I'm going to employ in order to deal with that drive and that desire when it arrives? So perhaps when I'm finished the meal, I should get up and leave and leave the place where we're eating the meal. And in other words, there won't be constant food around me and I won't then be tempted to continue to carry on eating. So that could be one effective tactic that could be employed in order to stop oneself. So that's a good example. If one is prepared and one thinks about it beforehand, so one could quite easily overcome that drive by just employing this simple technique, this simple action. Another example, let's say, is blessings, brachas. We have discussed in the past the great power of the blessings we say, the great power of the prayers that we say. So within the life of an observant Jew, one is saying many blessings every day, blessings before we eat food, blessings after we eat food, blessings after going to the bathroom. We are praying three times a day with the Amidah, the 18 blessings, we're saying Shema. So very often one finds oneself, and again I'm speaking for myself, saying, rattling off these words without having the proper thought and intention, the proper kavona that one should have. And each of these blessings is beautiful and powerful and connects us with God in a special way. So it's a great wasted opportunity to not have the right intentions with these blessings. And it's one of the ways that we develop ourselves spiritually. So instead of trying to take it all on immediately and say, okay, from now I'm going to have the right focus when I say blessings, that's a little bit of an unrealistic, you know, goal and expectations. We've got to start small in bite-sized chunks. So, for example, maybe take one blessing. Let's say, for example, Asher Yatzar, going to the bathroom. So each time we go to the bathroom, we say this beautiful blessing, thanking God for the miraculous functioning of our bodies, this incredible machine called the human body that houses the soul. We need to give thanks to the creator of this machine and the one that ensures that it continues to function in a healthy way. So that's the blessing of Asher Yatzar. Now, we go to the bathroom many times a day, and often we're very busy and we're preoccupied, and so we rattle off the blessing while we're doing other things. So maybe perhaps a suggestion could be that one Asher Yatzar a day, we should read inside the text, don't say it off by heart, and have kavana stop, block everything out, and let the noise die down and focus purely and solely on this blessing. Once a day, and choose that time of day. One knows one's bowel movements. One knows when you can do that. So choose that time. Choose one time a day where you'll say Asher Yatzar properly and slowly and think about each word that you're saying. So instead of just, you know, trying to do it at the time, if one thinks about it beforehand and one sets in places in one's schedule, these the safeguards. So that gives one the edge. That gives one the ability to defeat the enemy, to defeat the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't want us to have kavana and enables us to focus. Another good example is Lashon Hara. The Torah tells us that we should not speak in the derogatory way against our fellow. And that's a very difficult thing to do because most conversations, most worthwhile conversations, have juicy Lashon Hara in them. So to cut that out is not easy and takes a lot of hard work. So the one of the ways we can do that is put in precautions, is ensure that perhaps maybe, you know, one particular friend, whenever one's with them, they always speak Lashon Hara. So maybe, you know, be careful in one's conversation with that friend, and you, one should lead the conversation and think about what you're going to talk about before and ensure that that is the topic of conversation, not let it wander to people. Or alternatively, sometimes when a particular subject matter comes up, so that's when one stumbles and falls in Lashon Hara and speaks and listens to the Lashon Hara. So one should think about it before and say, okay, as soon as the subject matter comes up, I'm going to either change the subject or leave the room. So that one then is coming in armed, one is coming in equipped, one's got weapons to deal with the attack when it occurs, and that's the way we could succeed. So these are all examples of thinking about it beforehand, of doing what was called sufficient teshuvah, doing teshuvah properly, and changing ourselves. If we do that and we think about it, so we have a tremendous opportunity to change who we are and to develop our character, develop our midas, as God wants us to. Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. We've been discussing some very important concepts in developing ourselves, in self-development, in self-actualization. And we've been talking about the tactics we should employ early on in order to help us deal with challenges that may confront us in our lives. As we said in the beginning, God wants us to be complete in our service of Him. As Moses says, Tamim tiyeh im Hashem lokecha, be complete. And that means observing the mitzvot, keeping the mitzvot, and developing our character. And the way we do that is, as we said, by keeping the mitzvot, we have to learn halacha, know what to do. But we need to learn, develop our character by learning Musar, by learning the classic works of self-development, and by being prepared. In this great war against the Yetzer Hara that we're all fighting, and that's really the test of a successful human being, of a life well lived, is if we make progress in the battle against our demons, against our dark side. And that requires conscious thought, that requires effort, that requires a lot of hard work. And the Yetzer Hara is doing its job. It's doing its job at tempting us, at misleading us, at leading us astray. And we need to do our job also. What's come to mind is a famous story of one of the great rabbis, the Chagas Arya, who was a very great rabbi in the 18th century in Europe. And he used to get up very early to study, to learn. And one morning he got up, he was in Europe, and obviously in winter it's freezing cold. And, you know, it's not easy to get out when it's still dark and it's cold. And he wakes up, and the Yetzer Hara says in his head, why are you getting up? What do you need to get out of bed for? Sleep another hour. It's so warm in here. It's so cold out there. And he, in his mind, had this inner conversation. And he said, I have a job to do. I have to learn. I have to serve God. You doing your job. He said to the Yetzer Hara in his mind, you know, you doing your job by telling me to stay in bed, so the least I can do is get out of bed and do my job. And that's really captures the challenge of every human being in this world. We need to do our job. We need to serve Hashem. We need to overcome our lower self. Because if we don't do that, if we're not engaged in this battle, kiseisa l'milchama, when you go out to war, says the holy Zohar. So when we go out to war and we engage in the battle, so then there's a chance we'll succeed, we'll get siyata d'shmaya. But if we're not engaged in the battle, we're not even aware of these inner forces working within us, so we almost certainly are going to fall and stumble. And we just end up being a sophisticated animal with our life in this world. But when one works on oneself, when you meet somebody who's been working on themselves, oh, what a pleasure. What a breath of fresh air. What a noble human being. a person who doesn't have ego, a person who's in control of their physical desires, a person who stretches beyond themselves and is able to empathize with the plight and the journey of others, a person who's godly, who's connected to God. So by doing this work, we begin to move forward on this road of spiritual development. But by not focusing on and being aware of that inner struggle within all of us, so then we haven't even begun the spiritual journey. We haven't even started on our road, on the roadmap to self-actualization and perfection, to fulfilling our potential. So that's what Moses is telling the Jewish people, that when you go out to war, the war against the Yetzer Hara, you need to be prepared. We need to have a battle plan in place. We need to have strategy to deal with the enemy. We need to be prepared in terms of being able to defend ourselves when the enemy attacks. And that's the role of a human being in this world. And that's some of the work we should be doing. And in particular, this month of Elul, the month before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the time where we're supposed to be getting our spiritual house in order, when we're supposed to ensure that we are prepared for the spiritual year end, where each and every one of us is judged. So if we start doing this work and put in those safeguards, God sees that we're serious. God sees that we really want to develop and grow as a human being. And then there's no question we will receive tremendous siyata deshmaya assistance from heaven. I thank you for listening. I wish all of our listeners a ksiva chasima tova, a wonderful new year, and wishing you a wonderful day.